I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
He was one of the busiest, and I'm going to say most effective legislators in the 68th Montana legislative session. It wasn't his first rodeo either. State Senator Greg Hertz of Polson, Montana, he carried around 60 bills, 30-plus, pretty good batting percentage there, passed into law, housing, tax rebates, health care, government transparency. You'd be surprised at how much of these reforms that are coming out of the 68th Montana legislative session will have a bit of Greg Hertz on them today. We will speak with Montana State Senator Greg Hertz about the 68th session and whatnot on Voices of Montana. State Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6, lifelong resident of Montana, born at Malta. I didn't know that. Got a little bit of Highline in you, sir.
Yeah, I do. My mother lived up there. My grandparents did, and I was born up there. But when I was about 2 years old, they moved over here to the Flathead Lake area.
Yeah.
Pretty much been in the Polson Round Anne area since then.
Yeah, not a bad deal there, too. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your public service. I was actually, I noted about 60-some bills. I went back a little bit because you started as a representative in 2013. And maybe we'll talk about this because I want to look back at some of these bills. But very, very productive 2023 session. What is your highlight from that?
Well, I mean, we had so many good bills that went through the session this past year. And a lot of them got lost. I mean, I've worked on tax reform. Of course, I'm a CPA, and I focus a lot on that, tax relief, tax simplification. But I also touched on a lot of other issues, housing, judiciary, healthcare. I've got a lot of knowledge in a lot of these areas. And, I come to Helena every other year for 90 days, and I'm going to get the most out of it when I'm there. So, but probably one of the bills that kind of rises to the top for me is Senate Bill 536. I call that the Pothole Reduction Act. And that's going to take $100 million of our surplus and push it out to cities and counties so they can fix their local roads.
Yeah. I mean, and I noticed the work that you do as well. When I look back, like I mentioned, previous sessions as well, you'll take on the big things that need to be changed as well, but you go in and you look at little things here. I mean, when you carry about 60 bills, you've had to do a little bit of digging, or people have brought them to you, these ideas, these little things. I don't want to call them low-hanging fruit. They're sort of the hidden things that can make government either better or worse, depending on how you address those.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, with this being my sixth session, I've gained a lot of respect from my fellow legislators and people across the state. So I do get a lot of people come to me and say, hey, look, Hertz, would you mind carrying this bill? And I say, hey, tell me about it, because I don't get behind any bill unless I fully believe in it and I can defend it.
Yeah.
And so I've done a lot for a lot of different people across the state, and I'm glad I can do that.
And I think that's sort of the thing about government. You know, we talk about it and we gloss over those, 50 to nothing votes and 100 to nothing, bipartisan votes. But that is the majority of the work that gets done in the legislature. How important is that then? When you look back at some of the little things you think that you were successfully tinkered with, what do you see as a result?
You know, I always look to, government shouldn't be in there to make your life more difficult. Mm-hmm. It should just kind of get out of the way and help you move along. And that's a lot of the bills that I try to bring along do that, make things easier for taxpayers across the state, business owners, improve economic development. I love Montana. I'll always live here. But a lot of us have family members who have had to leave out of state. And I've worked pretty hard at trying to make Montana a more friendly business state and drive some economic development.
What was well? Let's pick out one thing, and I'll go back to 536. Well, why don't we just stay right there? As you call, sure. It's not really called the Pothole Reduction Act, but people can gravitate. They get that when they hear that. Talk about the process of that bill, and I guess what we learned there, and we've known for a while, is that we are way behind the eight ball when it comes to maintaining our infrastructure.
We are, especially on our local roads, whether it's in your local city, especially our small communities, or your county road. And so I've got some friends down in the Idaho legislature. In fact, former Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke, and one of the bills that they used their surplus for was $150 million to give back for local road improvements. And I saw that, I said, wow, that's a great idea. So, you know, this was just one of my own ideas, and I threw it out there. And I got a lot of pushback from the beginning from the administration, the budget office, like, oh, this hurts, this is a joke. And I'm like, no, it's not. And they never thought it would get legs. And finally, you know, towards the end of the session, it got some legs. Because I think everybody, as long as I've been in the legislature and before then, people have been complaining about the condition of their local roads. And I thought this is a great way to use our surplus and give it back to the taxpayers.
Yeah, and I know the state pushed back on that. There was another bill out there that I think it was 442, Senate bill, if I'm not mistaken, that
right.
would have done some of the similar things there that was rejected by the administration. So does this kind of fill in some of those gaps there, or is that, and I think Mike Lang is going to, you know, turn him out, so to speak, but that bill itself may proceed in the next session. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope it does. I mean, I fully supported Senator Lang's bill. It was a great bill. Senator Lang's was ongoing. And so what I looked at my bill, the $100 million, was, hey, let's get our deferred maintenance up to date. And then with Senator Lang's bill, we'll continue to have money coming in, and that'll be ongoing. Because that's what we really need to do when we look at things like roads and other infrastructure. We need to have funding that's ongoing and make sure that we don't get behind on the maintenance.
Yeah, and we have. What's the cause of that? Just too much maintenance? I heard one local city expert, again, I get around a little bit too, talk about, this was a national expert, talk about thinking perhaps we have too much. We've overbuilt and can't maintain it at this point. I think there's a lot to explore there on the surface itself. It sounds like, wow, have we built too much? But how did we get behind?
You know, there's just so many different issues going on across Montana, and we're a huge state. I mean, especially when it comes to roads or other infrastructure, whether it's water, sewer lines, you know, we don't have much population here. So it's very expensive in Montana, and our tax base, you know, it's not as large as, you know, a state that you might have, you know, 5-6 million people in compared to just over a million here. So it does. It's just the size and the nature of Montana that it's expensive to maintain a lot of our infrastructure.
State Senator Greg Hertz is with us, former Speaker of the House in the 2019 session. That's you only carried six bills in that session, but I think you're responsible for all those bills as Speaker of the House there. And also right there in Polson, Montana, graduate of the 1980 business administration, certified public accountant, and now a businessman. I kind of want to go into that, and we'll get back in the legislature here too. But
sure,
you began as an accountant, and then worked for Moody's Market in Polson, and eventually you become the majority owner of that company. You know, just as a businessman who started out perhaps in one arena and bought into this company. What's your recommendation? What did you see? How does that inform your you know, representation in the Capitol?
Well, being a business owner for over 30 years, and we operate 5 retail grocery stores in Montana and one in Idaho, so it gives me a lot of information about what's going on in our small communities, and that's where I operate. And I get a lot of feedback from the public. As a business owner, I understand the difficulties of working with not only the federal government, but the state government, local government. And so it really opens my eyes and allows me to have the knowledge when I go to look at tackling some of the issues that I have for the people of Montana. And it's just been a, you know, it's really helped. And I've got a lot of contacts to across the state and in state government now, and also local communities that really provide me feedback on problems. And that's probably one of the best things I like to do as a legislator. I encourage people, hey, you got a problem in your local communities or state government, call me. And I can intervene. And I almost like doing that more than passing legislation. So it's really helpful. You have someone call you and say, hey, I'm having this problem, Greg. And I pick up the phone and, you know, and they respond to me. Unfortunately, they don't respond sometimes to local taxpayers as fast as they would to a legislator.
Yeah. That's interesting. You, like if you had your own radio show. That might be kind of fun. Hey, we got a couple of calls in here. Tim, stand by. Let's grab one from Skip. I got a ton of stuff here to talk about as well, but as you noted, you want to get some calls in here. So Skip listening in Hamilton, we're happy to be on there in KLYQ and good morning, Skip. You're on here with State Senator Greg Hertz.
Good morning, sir. And Greg, thanks for your service in our legislature. I followed very closely, down here in Hamilton, the whole session. And I think that you were the one that brought the bill that most people are calling the one about the primary, the jungle primary, I think they started nicknaming it.
Right.
And I personally wished that something good had happened with that, because it was a wonderful tool for helping out, I'll say, Republicans in the future. Meanwhile, I know that you're on the Fish and Game Committee, and would you please tell us if there was any legislation that you wish had been different or that got buried because of the shiny die? I'm really interested in good environmental issues, and I say that as a conservationist. And if you know of anything that we need to look forward to anything good that we can do in the future. And sir, if you're termed out, what's your plans other than being in the grocery business? We'd like to know. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Skip.
Yeah, I'll take that last one first. So I do have to run for the Senate again. And with Solberry redistricting, I have a different district. So
oh, yeah.
I'll be running for the Senate again in 2024, and hopefully can serve out four more years. When it comes to FWP issues, you know, we did pass a lot of good bills. We're looking really hard at, there's a lot of non-residents coming into Montana now, which it's great, but they've also kind of taken up a lot of the good hunting and fishing spots. So we kind of tried to focus on that, put some limitations on how long they can be here, particularly on some pheasant hunting. One bill that I worked with Senator Nolan on, which unfortunately died over in the House, was we wanted to put a 2-week limitation on non-resident big game hunters. So you could come to Montana, but you had 2 weeks where you could hunt. You couldn't hunt the whole season. And, you know, that had some traction in the beginning, but it lost. I think we'll work with the FWP Commission on that, because I hear a lot of complaints from local residents that these non-residents are just taking over our favorite spots. And so I think we really need to work on that.
Skip, thanks for that call. He's listening online or on the radio, I should say, on KLYQ. Tim in Townsend, why don't you stand by? I'm up against a break here, and we'll come on back with more. Sales tax, obviously, something I think we have to talk about when we're talking about, you know, tax rebates, as well as looking forward as Montana's changing tax structure does cause some challenges, possibly some opportunities there too. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us. We're back with more of Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Tom Schultz back at Voices of Montana with State Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6, been a lifelong resident of Montana as well, served as the Speaker of the House in the 2019 session. I think, 2013 was his first session, as we're kind of wrapping up here. Got some calls to go to, so it's 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. I will get to this. As we go back a little bit, Senator, in 2015, I noted 15 bills, 7 passed. A regional museums, visitation through the Tourism Council. I think those things, like I said, are real interesting. And then HB 82, this was 2015, you approved, you actually helped the approval for a boat dock on Wild Horse Island. That was 2015. They built that yet?
No, they haven't. And I've talked to the FWP director about that a few months ago. And it's, you know, Wild Horse is getting so much visitation now, and there's no dock. If you've been there, you got to pull up on shore. It's hard for elderly people to get out. And what happened, it was in Skeeko Bay, and a lot of people parked their sailboats out there. So these people with these sailboats who like to camp there overnight don't want any more people enjoying our park, so they pretty much killed that. So I've got to get back with the FWP director and say, hey, look, we need that dock out there now.
It's authorized.
Yeah. You know, so.
Good work. Thank you. Tim, listening in Townsend on Helena's KCAP. Good to hear from you, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. It's been a while since you and I met here in town at the American Legion. Remember that?
I love it. Yes, I do. We did a little show there, Greg, and just talked about the town, and it was really cool. Real historic stuff there. I really appreciate Tim showing me around.
Good. By the way, Lakeside Distillery is having their anniversary this weekend. So.
Dang it. I guess I know where I'm going to go then.
Yeah. Senator, thanks for your service. Thanks for the legislature and the governor for controlling things and all. But I have a controversial issue with a caveat that it must be done by citizen initiative. We voted in and we control it. It is a limited sales tax. And here's the condition. The Constitution, as I understand it, can only have two forms of income. And right now it's property tax and income tax. If we, through citizen initiative again, eliminate those two and replace it with a very limited citizen controlled sales tax, using the 12.5 million visitors that come to this state annually to generate that money, how much money, and do you think it would work in the state of Montana?
So thanks for the question, Tim. And yeah, I've talked about sales tax for the last several years. A lot of people don't want to touch it. It's kind of the third rail of politics.
He mentioned it, Greg, and I almost had to, because in Montana, it's a dirty word, and I've got this 10-second delay, and I almost hit it, because in this state, that's, you know, that's how it is. But it's time to have this discussion, I think. So I'm sorry, interrupted you there.
Yeah, it is. It's overdue, and I think next session we'll be looking even harder at it. I'm on the Revenue Interim Committee. We discussed it the last interim, so we'll talk about it more. I mean, we're no longer, you know, in the past, in the 70s and before then, we were more of a natural resource, industry, timber, mining, et cetera. Worked well for income tax, but now we all know we got all these tourists coming in, and we do need a statewide general sales tax, particularly if you want to reduce property taxes in the state. I think it's something the voters need to weigh in on. But the numbers that I've ran, so I've looked at it was a 2.5% statewide general sales tax on everything you can imagine. I mean, including groceries, going to see an accountant, a lawyer, a dentist, a doctor, whatever, anything you do. And that would generate about $1.5 billion in revenue, which is about equal to our income tax. Property tax reduction is a little more difficult. But I think one thing we could look at is if we had a statewide general sales tax, then we could look at something like Alaska does. They have a dividend for local residents. So you could bank all this money and then you could rebate it back to just the Montana residents, and they could use that to offset against their income taxes or reduce their property tax bill. So there's just a lot of ways to skin that cat, but I think it's something we really need to have a good, strong look at.
Tim, let me ask you, what's the conversation like? You're out, you're engaging businesses, you're engaging just local residents. What's the conversation? Are they ready to hear this?
Well, if they listen to the caveat that I'm proposing, and I've done this for 40 years now, and as soon as you say sales tax, it's near crucifixion. But once they get past that and hear the details of what I'm proposing, which is elimination of income tax and property tax, and a limited, very limited sales tax on certain products using the 12.5 million visitors we get, then they go, huh, I like that idea.
Yeah, I think there's...
Versus...
I got...
I know you got to go here, but the perspective is get it out of the hands of the legislature except for divvying up the necessary funding for the agencies and operations. Don't let the legislature determine what's taxed, how much, blah, blah, blah. Then we're going to enter up into California crap. And I mean, I'm California stuff. And it's got to be limited by we the people.
It has to be, I think, in this state anyway. And we'll talk more about that. Tim, I do got to take a break. I appreciate that. I appreciate your having that conversation. I think we need to have it more in full. Without the threat of, thunderbolts coming from the sky when we see the or just hear the term sales tax. We'll come on back with more. Listen, Carl and Robert, stand by. We'll get to your question as we have State Senator Greg Hertz on the program today and wrapping up that 68th legislature here on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
State Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6. I noted that they had changed your district, Greg, but I didn't know you would have have run again. Senate District 6 was north of Polson and then to the west, and not quite to Kalispell, and the new district has it going again north, but this time to the east. And you have to run again, huh?
Yeah, I do. The district will go from basically Polson all the way towards the west to Thompson Falls and... in that whole Sanders County area. So unfortunately, Senator Bob Brown's over there. So Senator Bob Brown and I may end up in a primary.
Oh, wow.
To see who gets to serve the state of Montana.
That's a whole different issue we may get to. I don't want to shorten Carl here. Carl listening in Roberts on the mighty 790 KGHL. Good morning, Carl. Good to hear from you. You're on the air with Senator Greg Hertz.
Yeah, good morning, Tom and Senator. Thank you guys for stimulating the conversation. I know we're covering a lot of topics. I'd like to talk or ask the senator about Senate Bill 72, the permanent water court bill. Through that whole testimony and stuff, I never understood the need for the bill. It was never pointed out clearly. Why do we even need a permanent water court?
You know, thanks, Carl, for the question. And I would agree with you. There was a lot of people who understand water much better than I do on both sides of this issue. And to me, it finally came down as like, okay, do we really need to immediately do this right now? And I concluded, no, we don't. So I didn't support the bill, and it eventually died, and I think that's where most of it fell. So we'll need to continue to look at this. I mean, obviously the water court's important for a lot of individuals who depend on water for farming and ranching and other needs. So we'll have a discussion as we proceed. But I didn't see why we needed it permanently at this point in time.
Okay. Well, thank you for the no vote on that. I appreciate it. And I know it's going to be a war. It's going to go on for the next 4 years, probably. But it was a point. It went down in flames in the House side, the Judiciary Committee. And, I mean, that kind of speaks to the bill. 19-0 in the Judiciary says it was a pretty poor bill.
Well, yeah, I can't speak on the merits of all of it. I don't know water issues that well, so I depended on a lot of my other fellow legislators and some of the people in the farm and ranching community that I really respect it, and that's kind of where my decisions came.
Carl, I appreciate the call, and we'll keep on that issue as well. I'm up against the break here.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yep. and State Senator Greg Hertz will continue. We will talk a little bit about transparency, government and transparency, and more. Healthcare. Let's get into some healthcare issues as well. Senator Greg Hertz had his hand in everything there at the Capitol. Back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, welcome back. We're at 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. Give us a call today. State Senator Greg Hertz is open to calls and questions about the 68th legislative session. Thanks for those who have called. Got one call offline. We're going to take it on air. But State Senator Greg Hertz, thanks again. This has to do with Sasquatch. They're not wildlife, I guess. Yeah, so don't hunt the Sasquatch. Huh? I think that was a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never saw anybody out there proposing to hunt Sasquatch.
Well,
probably something that we don't want to do.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what you, because we, well, I'm not even going to go there, but we're surprised sometimes at laws that are not on the books, and then some that are as well. That would be one. Frank, thanks for that call. Again, tongue in cheek. Let's talk about. There's so many things to go into. I've noted this, and I'm going to go right into it. I've seen the executive branch, and it doesn't matter whether it's federal or at the state level. It doesn't matter really what state it's in. I've seen the executive branch, I think, overextend its authority. I think we see the judicial branch overextending its authority as well. At least ideally, when we set up this these three equal branches of government, I see the state legislature pushing back and trying to reestablish its authority in a lot of ways. A lot of that came through the interim when the state Supreme Court basically ignored requests, and maybe you could frame it better than I can, from the legislature, and became their own judge on their own whatever is activities that that came into question. Let's talk about how the legislature regroups and reestablishes that authority.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Tom. And we are, in my view, we're one of the weaker branches of government because, of course, we only meet every other year for 90 days. And once we're gone, we have little authority, if at all. We have these interim committees that are 50-50. Not anymore, though. They're going to reflect the makeup of the legislature with a new law. So we can actually get some things done. We push back on the executive branch, the governor, in regards to rulemaking authority. So there's times that we can just stop their rules in their tracks now. It's a lot easier. And the judicial branch, which I chaired the Judicial Transparency Select Committee during the last interim, and we got a lot of good information that came out of that particular committee that held the judicial branch more responsible.
Is there a tiff between the legislative branch and the judicial branch right now?
I think at times there is. I mean, you look at some of these judges have really overstepped their boundaries. And they'll put an injunction on a state law. And we've had injunctions on laws that have lasted for years. So that was one of the bills that we passed and said, hey, look, yeah, you can stop a bill, but only for 10 days. And then you need to have a hearing and you need to justify and you need to reach these certain conclusions as to whether it will be that bill will be, you know, injuncted for continuancy. And we've stopped that now. Which is great. And that'll really help us. We've also brought judges have to, respond to ethics laws, just like everybody else in the state. And they also have to, when campaign contributions get very large, like you might be in a courtroom and the law firm who's, opposing you made a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 contribution to the judge. who was listening to the case. And in the past, there was nothing you could really do. Now I passed the bill that said, hey, look, if a lawyer gives more than $700 to or $800 to a judge, or if their firm gives more than $10,000 to a judge, you can ask that judge to be recused. And so, because it's just, and it'd be the same for me, too. I mean, if I'm a business owner and I gave a judge, you know, $10,000 through a PAC, you know, the person opposing me in that lawsuit could say, hey, you need to be recused because, you know, Senator Hertz's business contributed money to your campaign. So it's just a matter of fairness and make sure that judges are, you know, that they're not going to be partial to one party or the other.
Yeah.
And you know, people need to have faith in the judicial branch.
And then transparency is a part of that, too, because when we talk about the power of capital in politics, they say what can counter that, and I agree to a certain degree, is transparency. I think you moved some bills that will maybe shine a light on some of these things that we face in the ballot box.
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to property taxes, transparency, now when they do their budgets, you know, local governments can increase your taxes without voter approval in certain instances, but no matter what they do, so now when they do their budget from the previous year to this year, they're going to have to tell you exactly how much taxes went up on $100,000, $300,000, or $600,000 home. And so it'll be more open on that. And when you go to vote on a bond issue, whether it's a new school building, new water and sewer, they will have to tell you how much your taxes are going to go up. A lot of the municipalities do that in the schools, but they're not required. But now they will be required. And one of the bigger issues on transparency has to do with lobbying. So right now, a lot of local governments hire their own lobbyists who come to Helena. And I don't agree with that at all times, because a lot of times, you know, special local governments, some of them are lobbying to raise your taxes, and a lot of taxpayers don't want that. So what I put in a bill was, hey, if you're going to hire a lobbyist, you need to tell the public who you're hiring, how much you're paying them, and then during the legislative session, once a month, you need to report on which bills you're supporting and which bills you're opposing, so that the public knows exactly what their local governments are doing.
Senate Bill 358, just one of those transparency kind of bills. Look into it. The Montana legislative website, I think, is very informative. And in fact, you can go and get a full listing of hearings and things. I mean, like I say, it's a great way to inform yourself on these issues. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us again, a lifelong resident of Montana, in Lake County, though born in Malta. I want to, because I've had a text message on this a time or two, Senate Bill 550, and I know it was there's kind of a hodgepodge of things in there. The one that I get asked about is direct primary care and the health sharing ministries. They're now eligible for medical savings account expenses. Comment on that, but also I see in there creation of a first-time home buyer savings account, which I hope can help.
So those are some of the old stuff, you know, like the home buyer savings account has been an old law. So the main basis of that bill, I passed Senate Bill 399 in 2021 session, which simplified our tax returns, keyed it off of the federal, make it easier to file, raised the standard deduction. It took off about 90,000 low-income people off the tax rolls. But then also the medical savings account, and we brought that back because I did sunset that. It didn't seem like it was getting a lot of use, but we have these direct primary contracts now with doctors. It's, you know, expanding across the state. And then also medical, the healthcare ministry. So what this bill now allows, well, you can set up these Montana medical savings accounts, $4,500 you can put into them every year. It's a tax deduction, and then you can use the money in those accounts. It grows tax-free. You can pay your direct primary care contract and your healthcare ministry. I mean, it's kind of like another type of insurance, just making it easier for people to control their medical costs across the state, because, you know, we all know when you go see the doctor, it can be very expensive. But some of these new programs are really helping families.
Well, and you, I think in 2013, you were part of the Medicaid expansion debate as well in Montana. Understanding, I guess, our healthcare needs, maybe through that process, where are we at in the state when it comes to healthcare?
So I took on a lot of healthcare issues this session. Number one, I went after the hospitals, and boy, that was a big battle. For me, it was a bill that I had and said, hey, look, hospitals, you can't charge more than 250% of what Medicare would reimburse you for to everybody else. So, like, if Medicare paid for a particular procedure, it was $1,000. All I said was, you can't bill anybody more than $2,500 for that same procedure. And they fought and fought that. And finally, that particular bill, that bill died. But, and then with the health insurance too, I wanted to expand health insurance pools, because we all know health insurance, any insurance, is you're sharing risk. So the more people that are in a risk pool, the more you can spread that, the level of your premiums will be. I got a lot of pushback, of course, from the insurance industry on that. But those are two things that I'm continuing to focus on, because healthcare costs, whether it's pharmaceuticals, and I've had bills deal with those, going to the hospital or paying for your health insurance with these large deductibles now, is very expensive. And we need to do something to slow this down and control it.
Still more to talk about. We'll take a break and come on back. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us, in a vital part of this last 68th Montana session. His fifth at the Capitol. We'll come on back and maybe talk more about, I guess, the process and what people, how people can be more intricately involved and effective in legislating themselves. Back with more in a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
You want to talk national debt? Hey, we might have a chance to do that tomorrow. We're always talking spending because it seems like a lot of it's out of control. I mentioned that now to welcome you back here. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us. The GOP in the White House has been in, well, pseudo-negotiations. They've gotten a little bit more hotter here as we look at possibly defaulting on our debt as early as June, although I looked at some of those numbers too, a lot of fear-mongering going on. Right now, Kevin McCarthy, I think, is speaking to the press.
I don't think there'll be a default. State Senator Republicans.
Greg Hertz, why don't you stand by? Let's see what he's got to say here.
We're the only ones who acted.
Speaker of the House,
so
Kevin McCarthy.
If the American public didn't want if they get rewarded for not taking an action and ignoring a problem, the Democrats are going to win that award every day. They did that with Title 42 on the border. They've done that with inflation. They lied to us and told us it was transitory. They did that with the debt ceiling. They told us we shouldn't talk. So I'm sorry. If you want to blame Republicans for solving problems, we'll take that blame.
Yes, well, it looks like we've gotten into the question and answer portion of their meeting, but took to the podium to announce, I guess, Brian Bennett in studio here. No agreement, just negotiations continuing. Okay. Still hardline. All right. I appreciate that. That gives us a few minutes to Greg to talk about spending. It has gotten out of control, I think. You know, at our state level, we have a balanced budget constitutional amendment. I don't know why we can't move more toward balanced budgeting at the federal level either. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason, I mean, every state just about has a balanced budget amendment, and the federal government really needs one too. That's the only way you're going to control spending at the federal level, is to force them to do it. Otherwise, if you're not, you know, you've got, you know, 400 plus U.S. House members, 100 senators who all want part of the pie to bring it home. Yeah. And you need to put some restrictions on that, and because it's really getting out of control, particularly in the last 6, 7, 8 years. Republicans and Democrats, you know, are both to blame for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope the Speaker holds his ground.
I do, too. We've come that country we've warned ourselves about in terms of not allowing politicians to buy votes with our own money. I need to push off of that. So just a couple of minutes here. What was refreshing for you in this session? Or maybe you want to give a shout out to some of your colleagues on particular bills, or maybe the staff, or maybe somebody baked you an apple pie for, you know, to say thanks. And it was delicious, and you shared it around.
I did have an individual who baked me some oatmeal raisin cookies, one of my favorite cookies, and I did share those around. But no, staff is tremendous. They do so much before the session starts and during the session. They're so responsive. They are working 7 days a week, you know, sometimes 12, 15 hours a day. Yeah. Without them, it'd just be impossible to get things done. And there's a lot of good legislators. We all have great ideas, and I've worked with all of them. You know, I hate to mention anybody by name,
right.
And they know who they are, and they work together. And I always stay in touch with leadership. Being a former speaker, I completely understand. You know, I was pro tem, I was a whip. The last couple sessions, I've kind of walked away from leadership and focused on getting bills done. And it's been very rewarding, but, you know, you got to work with leadership too and making sure you get the process done.
I don't know if you can give me 15 seconds on what's the heavy lift for the 69th legislative session.
Well, that'll be interesting, but we'll see. I think a lot of it's going to be revenue. Where's our revenue headed? Is it going to continue to climb? Is it going to level off, or is it going to drop? We will know that by the end of this fall, kind of a direction that we're headed.
Doing anything for fun this summer?
Oh, always. Yeah, of course. I live on Flathead Lake. Very lucky. You got four granddaughters. And that's what we look forward to, is just lake time, going on the boat, doing a little fishing, just enjoying Montana in the summertime.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your public service. And we look forward to chatting with you again, Greg.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on. And thank you, Montana.
Polson State Senator Greg Hertz. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.